Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadik Bynum. And I can see where I don't have a studio at all. So, don't look like we're going to have a show this evening. I don't see a studio nowhere. Nope. Don't have anything. I'm ready. Okay, Brother Aziz, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother.
All right, okay, all right, we are on. I didn't have a studio. Nothing was lit up.
Oh, wow. I can hear you talking, you know, Sam, you know.
No, that's what I thought. I said I didn't have a studio. Nothing at all was lit up. We on the air. We're live. This is the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadik Bryan, along with my co-host.
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Greetings and assalamu alaikum to you, my brother.
And I want to extend the same greetings. And Brother Aziz, again, this is one of those evenings where we don't have a special guest speaker. So you and I are going to have to, it's an open mic, so anyone who wishes to call in tonight, you know, this is business identification and network marketing. And, of course, our network marketing, this is what the New Africa Business Association is all about. That's how we got started. Network marketing means that we network, we identify businesses in our communities, and when I say our communities, we're asking you to do the same, but we network market by identifying businesses in our communities, and then we invite those businesses to participate into a business activity such as dining and doing these dinner invitations, and then not only dinner, we say dinner invitations because those of us who have restaurants, we try to come to your restaurant, and we want to invite all of our members to come and to as to where we will network again by identifying our businesses right in person. And and at the same time, having a good social evening with business owners such as yourself. I think every community, Brother Razi, should have a business community, to some sort of business meeting as to where they're at least having, talking about business as much as they talk about social issues in their communities. They should also be talking about business and business opportunities.
Yes.
In the African-American community, because, again, African-American communities, most of our communities just do not have any businesses whatsoever other than the barbershop and sometimes the beautician. But other than that,
right.
All the many, many other businesses, we're going to go uptown or downtown or around town somewhere to get our goods and services. And we're saying that this change, because our goods and services should be exchanged right in our own communities. So movie theaters, I don't care the all the different restaurants and whatever you're spending your monies uptown or around town, those businesses need to be bought right in the African-American communities because, again, we know, we've informed you many times, over $1.7 trillion is being spent on the outside of our communities. So, Brother Aziz, like I said, this evening we're going to be generalizing and commenting, and those who wish to join in and share in with us, we certainly invite them to do so. As a matter of fact, I'll give out a number as to where they can participate with us on the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. That number is 657-383-1372. Again, 657-383-1372, and you can come on live with us. But those of you who wish to go on Internet, then you would go to blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. That's blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. And again, Brother Aziz, I open with those comments. I'll come back with and generalize more, but I welcome your your comments and your opinions on matters and some of the upcoming events and what have you.
Yes, I wanted to talk about some statistics that I found over the weekend. I had today I participated in, I do halal certifying of meat products and foodstuffs for Muslims,
yes.
Similar to certifying,
yes.
For like the Jews certify, the rabbis certify for kosher when they eat in kosher. Well, today it was a 9-to-5 event, break for lunch, but I was participating with people from Muslims from all over the world that belong to this halal certification organization. And it was quite interesting. and we were discussing the different halal regulations and laws that different countries have established so that they can ensure the integrity of this product, the halal product that they're getting, whether it's foodstuffs, cosmetics, anything that, you know, that has to deal with where it's concerning being permissible to have or use or wear. Similar to kosher rules and regulations, but a little more stricter. And it's quite interesting that this the world is getting, halal is becoming more and more popular around the world. And I look forward to, you know, inshallah, looking forward to be at the will of God that more African-Americans, Muslims can get into that halal business, especially certifying as well as producing products, foodstuffs. As much as we eat, we need to start going in the food business, producing some halal foodstuffs. But the other topic I wanted to talk about was I was reading up on some black business statistics for this year, and I found things quite interesting. And I want to give our audience a few of the some overviews that I found. And it was this black business statistic, and they said there are more than 2 million black-owned businesses in the United States. That's a lot of businesses. It says a company named Worldwide Technology, this company is the largest black-owned business in America, in this country. And that's pretty big. It's the largest one. It says black-owned businesses generated $150.2 billion in gross revenues as recently as 2012 and more on up to today. The most popular category for black businesses is the healthcare businesses. And we know about the healthcare, you know, home, you know, assistance, just the healthcare business, period, nursing, and as we get this older baby boomer population. And it says that also New York has the greatest number of black-owned businesses in the country, New York. But here's a stunning thing. Now, this is just going to knock you off your heels. New York having the greatest number of black businesses in the country. Washington, D.C. has the highest percentage of black-owned businesses. Washington, D.C. has the highest percent of black-owned businesses. And a lot of the black-owned businesses, Brother Bilal, you and I know it's in IT work around the metropolitan area. A lot of blacks in those type of businesses, as well as government contracts. And also, it says 70% of black business owners are happy with their businesses. 58% of black business owners said that their business financial health is at a risk or distressed during the COVID-19 pandemic. Just 4% of startups right now are founded by black women. They say 35% of black business owners are women. Black businesses owned by black women earn significantly less than businesses run by other women. 34% of black business owners start their business because they want to be their own bosses. And that's where a lot of African Americans start their own business. Say 34% of them because they want to be their own boss, and that's great. 44% of black business owners use their own cash to start their venture. That's a pretty high number. It's saying that,
loans, banks
right.
Develop, is what it's saying.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it says, black-owned businesses employ approximately 920,000 people. That's a good number. They're not as many as we wish to hope in the future. It says just 7% of black-owned employer firms have 6 to 10 employees compared to a national average of 12%. So we've got 5% off, which still is a larger number of us employing one another, which that would be great. It would go from 6 to 10 to 30 or more per business. Black-owned businesses receive less business financing less often and at higher rates. And I'll repeat that again. And that's black business owners receive less business financing less often and at higher rates.
Right.
Yeah. 37.9% of black business owners say they are discouraged from applying for loans.
Yes.
The average level of startup capital for black entrepreneurs is only just around $35,205. Just 1% of black owners obtain business loans in their first year. And only 8% of black business owners report receiving assistance from loan officers in completing business loan applications.
Mm-hmm.
Economic inequality is a pervasive issue in the United States. Small businesses don't get the same tax breaks and government bailouts that massive corporations do. But inequality isn't predicated solely on business size. Black business owners are at a distinct disadvantage and when compared to their white counterparts. And this is just some, you know, it was more, but that was just some I wanted to share. You know.
It goes to show when we incorporated our North Africa Business Association, when you come on our webpage, the first thing we tell folks, the reason for our existence is because we put in so much money into the revenues of this country.
Yeah.
But when it comes to receiving back our due portion, those monies don't come back to the black communities at all. So our monies, all the monies in this country goes up to white communities. Even our deposits that we put into the banks, and those deposits are supposed to come back to your community in kind, but we don't have any for our monies to come back to, so it simply do not come back to us. And redlining is what, and you know that goes all the way back to after World War II, when the practice of redlining really started, and that was to prevent large amounts of cash going into the black communities because they didn't want our community to become a commerce. and they didn't want us to own our business and have the independence of capitalism. We were supposed to just feed into a capitalist system, but we wasn't supposed to be a part of that capitalist system. That's why you have the statistics that you have of African Americans when they go into business. They go in with an average capital deposit of less than $30,000 or somewhere in the neighborhood. Is because again, they don't have the privilege of the banks and financial institutions that would loan them because again, they just didn't want cash. And businesses to be, you could buy a car, you could buy a house, or anything like they said you could finance where they could make large interest profits off of you. But no, there was no profits that you were supposed to make as a business person. And of course, if you ain't making profits as a business person, then you are not making profits at all because you should be making a salary and not a profit. But you should be whatever your salary is paying you. And so, again, see, that's why, Brother Aziz, that's why we talk about the African-American communities have to become vested with each other. Large amounts of money, because if you have one person that is averaging a $30,000 interest into business, think if you had ten of those, you had ten of your friends, or even better, your business communities. And like I said, you had business communities, and now out of the business communities, you have 100 investors. Each one of you putting up the $30,000. That's how the large amounts of cash is going to have to be built in the African American communities. They're going to have to be their own banks. But in order to do that, they're going to have to become vested financially with each other, and they're going to have to see the values of being vested. And the values of putting up a $3 million of business in the African-American communities and knowing that and seeing what that $3 million can give you in return. And so this is why New Africa Business Association, or you starting your own business association and have the experts that can be a part of your business meetings, and some of those experts, of course, are accountants and financial planners and economists and what have you, can be is all in a part of your meetings where you can grow and learn from each other. But becoming financially vested, and actually, Brother Aziz, as that sound, is a real advantage to African Americans going into business using their own capital, because remember, the last thing you want when you go into business is a huge expense, because huge expense means you ain't doing nothing now but working for those who finance you, and until you take them off, you're going to be working for them until you can do something about the debt. But if you can go into business as to where you don't have that much debt, and you're eliminating as much debt as you possibly can, that's the way to go. And so this thing of denying African Americans loans and ways of getting loans, it's actually good for our communities, because now we can again collectively create businesses in our own communities. But the good thing about it is, when these businesses get started, we're right into revenue. We can pay off our expenses and go directly to revenue. And so it's a huge advantage to go into business with the least amount of debt that you possibly can have. But no, the example of what you just give is a perfect example as to why, first of all, why there's not that many businesses in Africa because they don't have the abilities for cash. And then the other reason that, of course, is, like you said, small amounts of monies that we have to even start a business. So, but you know, Brother Isaiah, I'll be honest with you, and like I said, you interject and join in. I don't see why our board is lit up tonight, but anyone who calls, just do the same thing. But I would say, Brother Isaiah, you just and join in because share in with your opinion. But,
I did want to say, you know, I was going to say, you know, and still going on to what we were talking about and reviewing all those statistics on black-owned businesses, we can see that such businesses are at a distinct disadvantage when compared to white-owned counterparts in the United States. Financial institutions grant them loans less frequently. And when they do, they often lower amounts. They don't want to give you that much money, and at a higher interest rate. This may be one of the contributing factors to why black-owned businesses tend to be smaller and employ fewer people than those owned by white people. But despite the grim tidings of the racial funding gap, however, there are encouraging signs for the growth of the black business community, particularly when surveying the success of black women business owners. So black business women owners are growing, have a great success. So, but, you know, what you're talking about, when you're saying us investing with one another, this is absolutely what we need to do, because we only have 35% instead of our owners that will be able to go in there. Only 35% of our business brothers take advantage of have that amount of money. They only have about $35,000 to go into business with. And that ain't much or nothing. While they say, on the other hand, white entrepreneurs report an average of $106,720 on startup cash. So the margin for failure for blacks is razor thin. You make one damn wrong move and we out of business because of not having that large amount of startup cash.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, they say,
I'm making a point on that. That's one of the reasons why I would not want to go into business by myself care whether I'm in the African American community or no. But I don't. That's the reason why I wouldn't want to go into business by myself. Is number one, I would have to first of all come up with my $30,000 in order to open a business in the community, and then I'm all alone. Mm-hmm. Nobody. I had to struggle. I don't know how long it took me to raise, to save the $30,000. But now I'm in business all by myself, nobody but me. I opened a store right in the African-American community, but I did it all by myself. Nobody is vested in this business. No, when I say vested, nobody's money is in this business but mine. So, again, the risk that I am taking is a very high risk. Number one, it's a high risk because I don't have money to sustain myself in order to give my business time to grow, and because this clientele is not going to just present itself overnight. I have to be in business for in order to just for anybody to even know I'm in business. That's why the average business person say the average business before you can really see yourself saying that I might be able to make a go is at least 3 years. So you got a 3 year trying out period coming into business, so you need to sustain yourself for at least a good 3 years, but I know you need to sustain yourself for a good 6 months to the first year. And $30,000, if you come in, so you see the, but if I had 10 investors with me, and each one of us put up our $30,000, and now, not only do we have $300,000, but we have 10 of each other's to replace ourselves. I am having, not only am I out here doing all this work to build a clientele, but I got 10 other partners out here building this clientele. Now the clientele can be built a lot faster. Things can be done a lot quicker. And the debt situation is not as great because the same cost it would cost for one person, now 10 of us have that same cost, and so we can bear the cost. In other words, what one can't do, many can, that's what that slogan means.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why we say go into business as a group.
Yeah.
And get together and let others see the vision of what you're seeing as far as the value of going into that business. And once you get those who have a like mind like you, those are the ones that needs to be putting together their investment monies to start the business. That's why you have your business meetings, to see who have these like minds and who have the same business interests, and is that business interest good enough for you to invest your monies jointly with? This is what the New Africa Business Association is all about. And one of the ways you can get started to talk about it is become a member of the New Africa Business Association. And you can go online, New Africa Business Association, .com, Washington, D.C. And you go on there and you'll see our memberships. You'll see our website. Go to our website membership, and we're glad to have you as a member. So, Brother Aziz, you know, statistics that you read and brought up was very timely, because that brings us right back to really what we're really all about. And
right.
So, but again, and again, I think I sort of cut you off from some of the comments. Go right ahead if I am.
I was going to say, in conjunction with what you're saying, and we're camelbacking one another in this conversation. And I was going to say another reason why we should invest with like-minded people is when I stated earlier that, and these facts are coming from the federal government in case people want to know, and I'll tell them where these resources are. They can go to the federal government and get these same facts that I'm reading right now. But it says another reason is 37.9% of black business owners say they are discouraged from applying for loans. And the primary reason many black business owners don't apply for loans is because they believe they would be turned down even if they did apply. Now, that's the feeling. And this survey by our government also says just 12.7% of white owners feel the same way. Now, here it is, the primary reason for one group of people, and a small percentage for another people feel that if they apply, they'll be turned down. And that's not just something that we come up with and just come off the top of our heads with and say, oh, yeah, if I apply, they're going to turn me down anyway. No, it's a history of that happening. And that is why a lot of our brothers and sisters feel that way. It's not just because they're too sorry to do that and put the paperwork together. That it's been done so many times, that's the way they feel about a lot of them too. 37.9% of us feel that, you know, hey, well, even if we apply and I got it all straight, they're still going to turn me down. And that's a big disparity, and that disparity is not based on anything but one thing only, racism.
Of course.
Racism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason why we need to come together with other like-minded African-American brothers and sisters to form businesses. Again, as you were saying, when it's 10 of us or five of us that are invested in a business like that, we got more people talking about our business. We got more people out there marketing our business because we got more people invested in that and the concern about making a profit, not going out of business, not being a failure. The business we put in there are businesses would be that our community has a need for and utilize. The thing of it is, if they don't know you, as you stated, and you move into a community and that, you know, people got to know you, and it's going to take a while to get those funds up. I mean, you know, to make some money, start making money on a regular basis. So having that startup cash, is, that's really life or death.
Precisely.
You know, and the government is saying that, on the other hand, while these white entrepreneurs have 106,000 to your 35,000 to start their startup capital, they say the margin is razor thin for black entrepreneurs. What kind of stuff is that, Bilal, working on a razor thin margin line?
It is if you deal with their system. I mean, and you see, that's the system that we've been trying to grow with for years, but the system is racist. And therefore, you can't grow with the system that's automatically, and this is the federal and state governments trying to see to it that you don't grow along with the hateful communities. So I'm saying, if that's their system, we need to go to our system. And I am saying, if you realize that you spending, African Americans have to look at themselves, like I said, almost like you're looking at a commodity. And you have to realize that you as a commodity is worth a lot of monies. And you have to see those. We know, we tell you every day, consumer spending over $1.7 trillion. $1.7, you ain't going to hear no black nation nowhere in the world saying they have $1.7 trillion. African Americans spend that just in consumer spending. You're talking about the taxation, and you ain't talking about the dirty money. You're just talking about consumer spending. So I'm saying you can see we have a serious value. So if you have
a serious value.
So if you as an African-American realize your value is so high, then why not now invest in yourself? Forget about the old system. You can see that, my goodness, if 100 of us put up our stimulus back, we're getting ready to everybody's talking about getting and probably going to go out here and waste. But if we do you realize the average person, even those who are in poverty, and I'm saying that for those who are in poverty with a whole bunch of babies and stuff, you're going to be getting checks for around $10,000 to $12,000. Think of those receivers of these monies was to organize themselves, and 10 or 100 of them put their stimulus money together and bought a McDonald's, bought any kind of a franchise that you're out here spending your monies on. Now you own that business. And so rather than a $12,000 stimulus, I could be making $120,000 from us because we bought a business. You see, and another thing, that's what I mean about changing conditions yourself. We don't have to go back to they turned me down, or they we already know those things are going to happen. They've been happening for 100 years or more. They will continue to happen. Look at that resurrection that we had at the Capitol here just a few months ago, where they wanted to kill everybody and change the government. Look at what's happening already down in Georgia, where they want to take away the black vote. They realize the power of African Americans, and two things that they, if they control, they would. One of them is their monies, the capitalism, and the other one is their politics, because that's the power of the country. So again, we can change. We can see where our values are there. So now I'm saying, become vested in each other. And like I said before, I wouldn't necessarily want to own a business all by myself. But if I found that there are 10 of us who have the like mind that I do, the same business integrity, 100 of us who have that same like mind, now I'm ready to get with that group, because As a large group like that, we can now buy large. Look at the group down in Selma, Alabama. We should never forget those. What's going on? That's just not being a promotion enough. But there, the entire city of Selma, Alabama, African Americans are proposing to buy it, and they're already buying many parts of the city. So again, that's the example of what of that. We don't need to borrow monies from these, because when you borrow monies from these folks, they own you. They own your business. You don't own no business, and somebody tell you, you going in there, I'll lend you $500,000, but your interest rate is 7% or 8%. You ain't going to never. They own you. I mean, they're making millions and millions off of you before you can make anything. So you don't want to. You don't want really their monies and their their credit. No, you want to go in as to where I can get into business and I can reach revenue as fast as I possibly can. And the way you do that is eliminate as much debt as you can. But our mics are open, Brother Isaiah.
Yes, yes. Brother, I have a little bit more to say about that. It was saying that, you know, black business owners. Now, these are government facts that I'm reading off. It said just 1% of black business owners obtained business loans in their first year comparatively to 7% of white-owned businesses getting loans other their first year. Other first-year financing stats are white businesses, 30% of them use their credit cards. 15% black business owners use credit cards. White owners, 18% get personal loans. 14% of black business owners get personal loans. Family loans, 9% whites get business loans from their family. 14% blacks get business loans from their family. Black business owners are far more likely to rely on their family and community for financial help in their first year than they are to trust a financial institution. It says only 18% of black business owners report receiving assistance from loan officers in completing applications. Starting a business and getting the capital you need to sustain your growth in that business is complicated. Therefore, it is an issue that 59% of white business owners report receiving help from loan officers, while black business owners, only one-fifth of blacks get that help. And they say,
let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics that you're reading, how is it going to make our communities productive? Make our communities productive. The answer is yes or no.
Yes.
If you read something that can help our community productive, I'd like to know what it is.
Well, what can make our community productive is see wherein we are at such a disadvantage when it comes to business that it is imperative that we that do have some funding and that want to go into business seek out, as you say, find out, go to business meetings where there may be people that think like you and start putting our money together and put it to use, because these are the only ways
that we're going to be able to go. That's what I mean about we can do what we can do for ourselves. Right now, you're reading us a statistic on what white folks say we can and can't do. So I'm saying if we keep on going by their statistics, how is it that, what advantage are we going to get from what they say we can and what they say we can't do? And all the monies they're making off of exploiting us by using us whenever they do want to give us a loan. See, this is what I mean. These things we can do for ourselves. We don't need their loans. We don't need their monies. I mean, look at the amount of monies we're spending. Look at your values. If you can see that you are worth a lot of monies and you have a lot of values, and I'm saying I got 100 brothers and sisters who can see these values like I am seeing them, then I don't see where there would be any problems for 100 of us to invest jointly and create these values for ourselves. This is what I mean about for yourself, and we can do for ourselves. We don't have to worry about whether the on loan. I'm sorry, like I said, anyone who is on this, the mics are open. We, you see how we can get here and start talking, taking up time. So the mics are open. Anyone who has any comments, the mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Alaikum assalam. How are you, my brother?
How you doing?
Brother Hassan.
How you doing?
Everything's fine, Brother Hassan. How you doing? We can hear you.
That's good. I'm sitting in the park after dark, listening to a great program. And we just learned to put a grocery store in Southeast D.C. We got three people that can put together enough to make a grocery store. And we're going to start a grocery store on MLK, inshallah.
With
grocery, already had grocery store. All right.
That would be fantastic, a grocery store on Martin Luther King Avenue.
Yeah.
We don't have anything like that.
I'm saying, brothers, that we're getting ready to do a $40 million a business venture over there on Martin Luther King. We can't get a grocery store into that a business venture?
Yes, we have a grocery store. We have a proposal on the table to put a grocery store in that building.
All right. Okay. Well, we got a proposal going. Someone who's I don't know about the proposal, but if you got one going, hopefully it's attractive enough for someone to accept your proposal.
Yes, sir.
I think that would be a good investment.
Who is all in on the investment of this proposal?
Well, it's your grocery store. You are in on the investment. Well, right now, I have three guys who are in on the investment. That means Bob, Ahmed, and Ahmed and Solomon. Myself, Hassan
Boxer. I'm a part of it.
How many investors
also have a cousin who runs grocery stores. He runs 20 grocery stores, so he knows how to run grocery stores. So we got all we need.
Brothers,
we'll have to talk about it.
If you want to join us, you can. It's wide open. It's a wide open field. But you got to come correct with some money. I have proposed myself personally $20,000.
That's a good bold start. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying we certainly cannot have a business meeting right here open over the air like this. But it's
well, we can't.
like a business meeting needs to be held.
We already have a business meeting going on. The business meeting is already going on. If you want to join the business meeting, you are welcome.
Well, like I said, I don't know anything about it, but we got a, I know we,
well,
brother, as far as I can remember, we've been trying to run a business organization in D.C. for years, and so you're telling me that there's a business proposal and we don't know nothing about it? And we're supposed to be interested in investment?
There is a business proposal, and now I'm telling you, you know about it.
I don't know the first thing about it. Brother Aziz, you know anything about it?
Just what he's saying. He's he just talked them into wanting to get a space. He put a proposal on the table, and they got room there, I guess.
I haven't seen no proposal.
Yeah. We want to put a proposal to Medina. Whatever the place is that runs the mask at, Medina.
Brother Son, Brother Hassan, you got some feedback coming from wherever you're located, so it's coming to us hard to hear you.
Yeah, I don't know what I can do about it.
Okay.
I don't know what I can do about it. I'm in a park.
We'll have to get together and talk about this, yes.
But we only have about a couple more minutes before we're going to be going off the air. But, Brother Son, I think you definitely need to put together a business meeting. It sounds like a very interesting proposal.
It's already been proposed.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, then I hope you guys work out.
You can.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, like I said, we only have a couple more minutes, so we only have a couple more minutes before we be going off. I do want to announce that. Let me see. I think before we have another session. I think Ramadan would have started before we come on the air again, Brother Aziz. So, we won't be talking as much business during Ramadan as we normally do. We'll wait until after Ramadan to resume a lot of these conversations. But in the meantime, we will be trying to do with Study Al-Islam. We're going to see, Brother Aziz, that you get any information on we can change the times to 10 o'clock in the mornings when our broadcasts come on. And so we will we'll be going to our broadcast at 10 o'clock rather than 7 o'clock. On Wednesdays, we'll be going to 10 o'clock, we do believe. Brother Aziz, I'm going to wait to hear more from you. But if that's the case, we will be going to study Al-Islam for the next, for during the month of the Holy Spirit. So, Brother Aziz, any closing comments you might have before we close out, we have 60 seconds.
None other than I enjoyed the show. Appreciate the brother calling in and telling us about his proposal and that. We'll have to get with him and see what that's going to be about.
And we look forward to all proposals. What the New Africa Business Association is about, network marketing and business identification. And like I said, you're going to have business meetings in your communities. And then become become vested with each other to build restaurants and any type of other businesses that we want to build. we certainly can show where to do so. So until next week, time, like I said, hopefully it shall next Wednesday at 10 a.m., but we will send out
right.
the information to let you know if there's any scheduling changes. New Africa Business Association, Bilal Bynum, saying good evening along with my co-host.
That's on the leg to all today.
And good evening.
Want some music?